Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Whether it's a trusted friend or your savvy brother-in-law, their investing advice might be just perfect for them. What's right for you is another matter. A registered investment advisor like KPP Financial has the fiduciary responsibility to help you make decisions that are right for you, right here, right now. If you'd like to know more about their investment programs, just click on the Investing tab on investtalk.com. End of commercial, and now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. It is Tuesday, July 12th, 2016. I'm honored that you've decided to spend this hour with me. We're dedicated to above-average investing for the average investor, as you know. I try to make it so everybody can understand, and everybody can do it. I'm sorry, today's Wednesday. Did I say Tuesday? Wednesday the 13th. I'm sorry. And because you're listening, I know you have financial interests, you have needs, you have interests, and you put this as a priority, trying to learn how to manage your own finances better. But of course, there's a limit to how much time you can spend doing it. You have a whole life to deal with. Children, family, retirement, whatever it is that you're doing. And it does take time. Maybe you have the time, maybe you don't. But you definitely have the interest, and I appreciate you being with me today. So I try to answer questions, and I try to give some advice where I can. And it's all about managing your money and your finances. And it's a difficult task, I know. And naturally, one of the most common queries I get about the economy and what is it going to do? Are we headed into a recession? And after I deliver my normal crystal ball speech where I can't see the future, no one can, I do give you some insights that might help all of us determine what the economy is going to do. And there's certain signs that you can look for. Some of them, one is a flattening yield curve. A flattening yield curve. If you don't know what that means, that's something you need to learn if you want to know, understand whether we're going to go to a recession or not. What it is the difference between the yield on a 10-year Treasury bond and a yield on a 2-year Treasury bond, U.S. Treasury. And when they start to become closer to each other, on when they actually invert, meaning that the yield, normally the yield on a Treasury 10-year bond will be higher than the yield on a 2-year bond. Makes sense, right? You're putting your money, tying it up longer period, you want to make more on it than if you're tying it up for a shorter period. Okay, so when that long period rate goes down and the short period starts to go up or stays level, there you have a flattening yield curve. When it inverts, in other words, the yield on a 2-year treasury is higher than the 10-year treasury, usually you're in a recession. What do we see today? What is the long-term treasury yield doing? It's going down. What is the 2-year treasury yield doing? It's moving down also, but less so. That's nerve-wracking. Nothing dangerous yet, but it is worth it. Another thing to look for is widening credit spreads, the difference between the yields on corporate bonds and the yields on treasury securities. In other words, riskier bonds versus non-riskier bonds. Riskier bonds are corporate bonds. If they widen, then it's a little red flag. And don't you see that happening? Because the 10-year treasury yield is falling, whereas corporate bond yields are not really falling. Widening credit spreads. And of course, there's a leading economic indicator. It comes out once a month. And that is 10 indicators out there. And when it falls maybe 5% year over year, there's likely a recession. Hasn't fallen 5%. Hasn't. And try to remember, no one indicator is perfect. You don't know. No one knows. But you try to give you're looking for hints. That's what you're doing. You're looking for hints on where the economy is going and where it's going to head. And everybody's doing it. So it's hard to get ahead of other people, but you do want to try to avoid recessions. You know, investing in recessions when all the stocks go down. Doesn't matter what you do. They go down. Do you want to try to, what we call, hedge against that? Okay? 888-99-CHARTER is our number. I would like to talk to you. Our 24-hour listener line is always open. It's open anytime. You can call whenever you feel like it.
Hi, Steve and Justin. My name's Aaron, calling from Chicago. I've listened to the show for a couple months. First of all, I want to say thank you. It's a really great show. I've learned a lot. I had a couple questions, actually. One, I've been reading books by William O'Neill about the Canslim investing strategy. He seems to have a lot of similarities with what you guys preach, but he seems to be more of a value investor versus a growth investor. But I see that you guys both, you know, advocate reading charts as well as fundamentals as far as, like, quarterly earnings, annual earnings, earnings per share. Wanting to see, you know, profits, not a lot of debt, things like that. Just be curious what your thoughts about that style of investing that can't swim. Just be interested in your thoughts on that. And my second question, I was looking at your guys' website, and I was just curious about as far as, like, your returns and stuff for, like, you know, the year, 3 years, 5 year marks, or however long you guys have been actually going, you know, in the market with other people's investments. Just what kind of returns you guys are averaging over that time, how it compares to the market. Like, couldn't find, you know, a reference point on the website. I think that would be informative and interesting. Appreciate your show again, guys. You guys have a lot of information. Just appreciate the way you present it. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Thanks for the call. Okay, CanSlim. Let's start there. CanSlim is a methodology of researching companies. And it's CanSlim is a very valid way. It's more of a fundamental analysis. And it's someone who came up with that method, CanSlim, and each one of those letters stands for something, you know, and I don't remember what it was. We are a value plus growth investors. We like value. We fundamentally like companies that are not overpriced but have some growth to them too. So we're kind of a combo. Usually you have a growth investor or a value investor. We're kind of a combination of both. So that, you know, that's how we operate. And you will not see performance on our website. You will not see performance on any independent registered investment advisor on their website. They can't publish them. The SEC has rules that you can't publish your client's performance unless you audit them. Now, a mutual fund can, because it's just one fund. You buy the fund. But when you manage people's money, you manage them in different programs. You have to audit each individual one, and then there's a method that you can combine them, but it's so expensive. You got to be managed by one of the big accounting firms. You got to be audited by one of the big accounting firms. That, you know, most of us, 99%, just don't do it. I don't mind sharing performance. I don't mind showing our holdings, showing everything. I'm very open about that, but I can't publish them. Well, I would love to publish this year's performance. I would love to publish performance over our... in our income program, I mean, but I just can't. But I don't mind sharing. I'll show you the holdings, show you exactly what we own, and show you what we've done, but I can't publish them. Also, yesterday I wanted to mention, Rick corrected me. I made a mistake yesterday. I was talking about Social Security benefits, and remember I mentioned you had to turn, when you turn 70 and a half, that you want to wait till you turn 70 and a half to collect your money. Well, 70 and a half rule, that's when we require minimum distribution, okay? When I'm talking about on your IRAs and your 401ks, you have to start taking them the year you turn 70 and a half. To wait for to file for Social Security benefits, you don't wait till you're 70 and a half. I was talking about, you know, money at your full retirement age that you get from Social Security will increase 8% a year until you're 70. Okay, so for 3 years, if your full retirement age is 67, you get 8% more per year. But you have to file for your benefits at age 70, not 70 and a half. That's different. So just make sure you understand that. And I want to thank Rick for pointing that out. I just, you know, in my head was 70 and a half because of required minimum distribution. But, you know, before you turn 70, you got to prepare and file for your benefits for when you do turn 70, not 70 and a half, okay? Let's try also to answer one of the text format questions. Hi, guys. I would like your opinion on Regeneron Pharmaceuticals. R-E-G-E-N is the symbol. I bought it at 380. R-E-G-N. R-E-G-N is the symbol. Let me put it over here. REGN. I bought it at 380 on a dip situation, thinking it would recover and make some profit. I'm not a huge fan of biopharmaceutical, but I thought there is some room for profit there. I would appreciate any thoughts on its future. Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, REGN, out of Tarrytown, New York, develops drugs to treat eye diseases, inflammatory diseases, and cancer. It makes good money. It's growing its earnings nicely and growing its sales. So they're going to make $10.86 this year, but that was less than last year, $12.06 in 2015 per share. So from $12.06 to $2.86, but then rebound next year to $15.44. So it peaked around $600 a share. Okay, a 605 is really what it peaked at. And today it's selling at 364.50 today, down $4.25, or a little over 1%. And so he thought he's picking up on the cheap, inexpensive side. And at $15.40 next year earnings, that means the PE is a little over 20. Okay, 21, 22. And that is, for this stock, low price, because the sales are still growing 30% per quarter. So that is a good buy point. You know, he bought it at 340. So it's, let me see. Did he say he bought it at 340? Isn't that what he said? Or was 380? I'm sorry, 380. Today is at 364. I think it's a good price. I think you hold on to it. I think you'll be fine. Okay, it doesn't have much debt. Management owns 10%. Mutual funds have been net sellers for the last year, but not a lot. Not a lot of pressure. Good, solid company. And it's about right where it's, the level that it's been trading at seems like be lots of support. So I'm thinking it should be okay. But remember, when you buy these kinds of companies with high growth, there's higher risk involved. Acquiring the experience and knowledge to be a successful investor is an endeavor almost anyone can take on. It's not rocket science, people. It's just work. You need to spend time. You need to prepare. You need to understand. You need to have knowledge. Our InvestTalk Insiders program can help with the easy reading info sheets and recorded webinars we have, just like the radio show. It's all about learning. It's all free. Free. Join the insiders on InvestTalk.com. Just click on the Invest Talk tab. Our anytime number for instant answers is 888-99-CHART. I hope to hear from you soon. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So let's talk about transparency in 401ks. And most 401ks, as you know, if you have one, give you a limited choice of number of funds. I'm hoping that will change in the future and give you more variety. But some 401ks allow you to be self-directed. Many of them will allow self-directed plans, but your employer has to pay for it. Did you know that? I'm an employer, I know. The employer can choose to offer you just a limited number of mutual funds or allow you to be self-directed, but he has to talk to the 401k provider and opt for that, and that costs extra money. Then you can opt into a regular managed account, which you can buy anything, any ETF, stocks, mutual funds, anything. There is higher trading fees for you that you have to pay, but it's a good way to go to give you more flexibility. So you gotta ask your employer if he has that. We see a bullish chart pattern in the small cap Russell 2000 index. Can you trust the charts, though? Would you like to know more about reading them? Let's talk about it. My direct line is 888-99-CHART. Is our number. You can call anytime you want. And we didn't mention the talking points that we're going to discuss today. You know, one was going to be, we'll revisit it again, finding transparency in your 401k plan. We'll revisit that before the end of the show. And yesterday I did not get to the jobs opening report and what's going on with that. I think you'll find that very interesting. And also, we did talk about yesterday about why Starbucks is raising prices. And more importantly, yesterday I just talked about why they are increasing salaries. Well, they do raise the prices to cover that. And why our brain is hardwired to make bad investment decisions. Did you know that it was? There's been lots of studies, psychological studies, and it kind of does. And maybe give you some tricks to sell your house faster. There's something I was reading today, and I thought, well, I'd like maybe share that it is in the house selling season, the summertime. So if you're in the mood for selling the house, maybe some ways to make it sell faster. The market did what it did today. It was mixed. The Dow was up 25, the Nasdaq down 17, and the S&P was flat. The futures this morning indicated the market was going to have another up day, but it doesn't look like it could sustain it. So we're still above, we're still broken out of our highs, not a lot, but we have. When we just got to see if we can maintain that pace, and it's going to be hard to do so. We're now starting earnings season, and the earnings still look like they're going to be pretty poor. They're not going to be great. Now, of course, you're going to hear, oh, this company, that company beat earnings expectations. And even, good old Alcoa, which, leads the way a couple days ago, reported better than expected numbers. But their earnings were below a year ago earnings. I think it was 10 cents a year ago per share versus 9 cents this quarter that they're reporting. Still not very good. Not terrible. Just not that great. So that's what we're going to discuss today. But, of course, you always come first. So let's take another question that came in from our text message file. This is Mike from Washington State. I just love your program. I appreciate it very much. Well, thanks, Mike. I do thank you for that. I was just wondering, what constitutes a value stock? What needs to be considered in valuing it as a value stock? I really appreciate your help, and thanks again, Mike. And the easy answer, and one that doesn't help you much, is because it's cheap. Now, when I say cheap, I don't mean low priced. I don't mean the stock is low priced. I mean it's low priced and cheap, or cheap in relationship to its earnings and its sales and its profit margins. Okay? So how do you evaluate that? How do you know something's of value? Well, you look at the industry PE ratio, and this company's PE ratio in the same industry is lower than average. You know that its price to sales and price to earnings numbers are low. You also know that its profit margins are steady or increasing. You know from a price to book, the book value of the company is lower than its industry average or its own history. And the company has a sustainable model to grow earnings, to keep sales going. I could just say, here it is. This is the things you look at. It's not that easy. It's not that simple. I wish it was. If it was simple and easy, everybody would do it, and we all know be good value investors, and we don't have to worry about it. Warren Buffett is one of the best value investors out there. But we all want some growth, too. It's just not easy. 888-99-CHART. Here's a question that came in before today's program.
Hello, Justin. I was calling about get your opinion on Toyota. The stock price is low with a PE around 7. Sounds to me like a great value play. Let me know your opinion. Thanks.
Okay, just so you know, auto companies usually have lower PEs. They're supposed to have lower PEs because they generally have pretty low growth and they generally have debt. So investors don't really value them high. So yes, the PE ratio for Toyota is 9. The average over the 5 years has been 8 to 47, so it's on the low end, and it's gonna make less money in 2017, 14% less per share, and then 4% growth the following year. And that's one of the reasons why it's not that it's low. But it's a good solid company. It pays a 3% dividend. So you want to buy it in this area when it's low historically. And its stock is trading for $107. It was low as about $99. And so management doesn't own hardly any shares. Mutual funds own, there's 120 mutual funds that own it. There was 137 a year ago. So slowly they've been selling it. Of course, it's all about the bad news they've had over the last year or two. But I think it's a good value at this point. This would be a value stock because it's selling for a low PE to itself in the last 5 years. Earnings are pretty solid. So it's pretty good value at this price. So I kind of think it's a one you could own. Bring your questions. Share your investing stories. This is an interactive program, everybody. 888-99-CHART is our number. You can call right now. We're live 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, Pacific Coast time. And you get through right this minute.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast today. And remember, no matter where you listen to us in the U.S., you can have your retirement portfolio reviewed by a registered investment advisor at no cost. Steve does a few of these each month on Skype or telephone. The scheduled date for the next opportunity is July 20th. To schedule your time with Steve, just click on the Invest Talk tab on investtalk.com and then Portfolio Review. Continue now with this Wednesday, July 13th Invest Talk. And on the next Invest Talk, your status quo bias can cost you. That's next time on Invest Talk. But we still have time for your question right now. Steve's easy to reach at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, there's Steve and Justin. Mike in Milwaukee are calling. Quick question for you guys. I hear this new booming company, Acacia Communications, ticker ACIA, I believe it is. What do you think of that? It looks like it's taken off and could be something great in the future. Anxious to hear your results. Love the show. Bye.
Okay, this is a brand new public company. I mean, it's been out since, what, June? June, only a few months. It develops high-speed interconnected modules for cloud infrastructure operators and communication service providers. It makes money. Therefore, it's a plus. It's a $1.7 billion company. It's growing 60-70% sales or higher in every quarter. But that means, try to take that with a grain of salt. It only sells, $84 million worth of sales in the most recent quarter, $68 million the quarter before that. And it's a $1.7 billion company. So therefore, the price to sales ratio is pretty high. The earnings are going to be $1.59 this year. And then $2.47 next year. That's up 77% this year and 55% next year. At $2.47 and a $50 stock, $49.62, it should tell you that it's about a 20 PE going forward with a growth rate of 60-70%. Therefore, that's pretty inexpensive for that high a growth rate. Now, mind you, it's high risk because it's brand new. It just came out in June. I mean, here we are in July. It's only been out, a month? 2 months? Not very much. Month and a half? Not very long. Not a lot of history to take a look at. But it is fairly inexpensive, and the stock price looks pretty inexpensive, and the chart looks pretty good. So it's for a high-risk play, this would be a good high-risk play. I hope that answers the question there. So, what's the number one concern when I meet with people about their portfolios? Their main concern is, how much risk am I taking? Am I in the right things? Should I take less risk or more risk? And of course, it's hard to know that, but that's one of the things I go over with people when I meet with them. And I meet with people on July 20th. I have a couple phone calls set up already. And I'll be in the San Ramon office on August 2nd and in the San Jose office on August 3rd. So if you want to meet with me on those one of those 2 days in that in those areas, or you want to do it by phone, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, and I'll be happy to set up a time to sit with you.
If you have significant investment assets but do not have multiple hours a day to conduct research, analyze charts, study economic trends, then you need to consult with a professional advisor. Might be a good idea. If you'd like to check out the investment programs from KPP Financial, you can do it on your own at your convenience. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Dave, podcast listener from Boston. I wonder if you could take a look at a company for me. The ticker symbol is LEA. The company makes money, pays a small dividend easily, but for some reason the PE is always so low, and I'm trying to figure out why. Thank you.
It's the industry it's in. This is Lear Corporation, manufactures seating and electrical systems and products for automotive companies. Lear, L-E-A-R Corporation. In the automotive, we talked about Toyota Motors, and I told you that auto companies traditionally have low PEs, and so do the automotive suppliers of parts to the companies. And this company made $10.85 in 2015. It's going to make $12.85 a share next year. That's 18% this year, 18% increase. And then $13.86 next year. Another 8% increase, pays a small dividend 1.1%. It's $110 stock, which is going to make $13.86. So that means the PE is well below 10. The average is for this company is 7 to 14. Okay, so don't think it's really, really cheap. It's not. It's fairly inexpensive in relationship to its earnings. It's fairly inexpensive. Return on equity is 29%, very high, like that. Mutual funds are slowly buying it. Funds own 46% of the company. Those are all good numbers. So the company is fairly inexpensive at a current price of $110, and it's a really good buy in the high 90s or $100 a share. That's a really good buy, and it got there. It was there not that long ago. Now it's $110. So it's a good value where it is. But don't think it's super cheap. It's not. It's just inexpensive, and it's a good price. Okay? Hope that helps. Lear. L-E-A is the symbol, everybody. 888-99 chart. Do you know there was a pretty, the job openings report, there's a report that comes out every month, and the most recent one is pretty old, May, so it's pretty old. But the jobs openings is showing that it was fell to 5.5 million in May from a 5.85 million in April. And that was a record high, by the way, in April. So it fell. Remember, our jobs report came in at 287,000, right? The most recent report we had for June. And the one for May was only 11,000. Neither one of those numbers are probably right, right? The most recent one is probably too high, and the one for May is probably too low. But you can't argue with the average in 2016. The U.S. added about 172,000 jobs per month for the first half of the year for this year, 2016. Last year, it averaged 229,000 jobs per month in 2015. So we're adding much less jobs on average this year. And the jobs openings report is showing that that is not as high as it was. This should tell you that the jobs market is not as healthy as it appeared in this most recent report. That's what you should take away with this information, that it's a little bit weak. The jobs production this year is weaker than it was last year. And maybe that's why the Fed wasn't so keen on raising interest rates. I do think they're going to raise rates, but this report should tell you, this jobs open report should tells us that it's not as strong as we'd hope. That the job market is just not there. Doesn't mean it's terrible. It just means that you can understand maybe why people don't feel the economy is as good as it should be or could be. And you add GDP growth, which is kind of weak to it, and you just don't feel very comfortable. And you can understand why, because the numbers are not comfortable. Okay? 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. Why our brain is hardwired to not help investors, to hinder us. It's going to be one of the talking points I want to talk to. But first, let's go back to the phones, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Stephen, Justin. This is Stephen from Orange, California. Had a question on Valero, VLO. Bought in last week and averaging on a position at $48 a share. And just wanted to get your opinion on it for the next few months to a year, what you think it's going to do. I know oil has kind of been bouncing around. With a dividend yield around 5%, it looked like a pretty solid play for the next little bit. So thanks so much. Love the show. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Valero, VLO, engaged in refining and marketing of fuels and other petroleum products in the United States, Canada, Aruba, UK. Valero, of course, is a refiner. So when oil goes up, it doesn't do as well. They're making good, decent money. But their earnings are going to be down 50% this year from last year, $9 to $4.45. It's a $49 stock. It's going to rebound in 2017 and make $5.98. So the PE looks really, really low, but it's really not, because it's going to make $4.45. It's a $49 stock. So that means the PE is about 10, 11. Now, and when it does make 5.98 in 2017, that tells you the PE is below 10. But that's not that cheap. The average for this company is 4 to 12, the PE range, 4 to 12. So it's not, you can't say it's really, really cheap. Now, it's going to depend on oil prices. This company thrives on lower oil prices. It doesn't do great on higher oil prices because it's a refinery. It refines the oil. The lower the price, the better its margins are when it sells its refined products. Now, the dividend is not going to go away. It will always pay 4.8%, so it's a really good buy for the dividend. Okay, so you can buy that company for the dividend. It's fairly cheap. Hold on to it, and you'll do just fine. It's a good, solid company. It's a $23 billion company. Okay, let's go to Arias in San Diego. He wants to talk about the jobs report. How are you doing, Arias?
Very good, Steve. Steve, did I understand you to say that I think this last report we had was something like 280-some thousand jobs, right?
Yes. Yes.
And you're saying that that number is...
Probably too high. It's probably too high.
Too high?
Yeah. It's probably too high. It's probably not right. And the month before, the number was probably too low. Okay?
Now, how are you deriving at that?
Because I'm looking at the jobs openings reports and the number of jobs, and that fell for May. And so the numbers are probably going to get revised, and the one most recent one will be revised down, and the other one will be revised up. I'm trying to look at the overall picture area. So you know how the reports come out every month, and then they revise. No one pays attention to the revisions of the following when the following month comes, because everybody just sees the headlines of the report that came out. And of course, all the news people report the headlines, but they're not really right. They're always adjusted. So I'm telling you that the numbers are probably going to be adjusted downward for this most recent report.
How much down you think from 287?
Probably 50 to 70,000, maybe.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the information that you're looking at, because you're looking at raw data.
Yes.
And data that you can, you know, sink your teeth in, because this is the kind of work you do every day.
Right.
So why is it that every time they report these numbers to the American people, they always give us what we want to hear as opposed to what we need to know?
Yeah, that's pretty much true. Arias, if I can tell you something and put it in the back of your mind, that every economic report that comes out of Washington is going to be revised. It's not very accurate. It's pretty accurate, but not exactly accurate, and you have to take everything with a grain of salt. For instance, the unemployment rate is pretty low, right? Well, but then if you look at the, you know, the total picture of the labor participation rate, that's not very good. So why
exactly.
why is unemployment rate so low? Well, because they don't count the way you and I would count. They don't count people that stop looking for jobs. They don't count them as unemployed.
And, you know, I really got that from you guys. You guys kept talking about these two different, the U3 number and the U6. So I started doing some research on my own.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, well, wait a minute.
You got to say, wait a minute.
The president is going to report the good number on the U3 side.
Yeah.
But I will say, Donald Trump has been trumping this U6 for a while.
Yeah,
he's been saying, hey, these numbers are not really, you know, early on in his presidency. He said, these numbers are not really what the government is telling us, you know.
Exactly. And then you have to take a look at the work week, how long people work during the week. You also have to look at the part-time workers versus full-time workers. It takes a while to start to understand these things, and it takes an effort. You know, the news people just report the headline numbers, and it looks good. And, you know, they don't really tell you the whole story. That's all.
Well, I tell you what, I just keep listening to you guys. You guys seem to be on top of things, so I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Here's another test question I'll try to answer. Hi, Steve and Justin. Love the podcast. I would like to, I like your opinion on the stock STOR. I purchased it about a month ago at $25.50. It's a very tiny portion of my portfolio. I'm up 8%, but I would like to know if it's the type of stock to keep long term. STOR, everybody. STOR. Let's type that in. I think I looked at it. Store Capital. It is a $4.1 billion company. Growth rate is very high. Earnings are pretty good, growing about 5, 10% per year. Sales are growing 30, 40%. So it's going to make $1.71. It's a $29 stock. It's a REIT that owns 1,325 single tenement commercial real estate properties. It pays a 3.6% dividend. It's a pretty low dividend for a REIT, because REITs have to pay 90% of their profits in the form of dividends to the shareholders. So it's kind of a low yield. The PE is 19, the average is 14 to 19, but it hasn't been around very long. It's only been around a few years, so you don't have a lot of history. It looks like a good, solid company. We're paying a pretty decent dividend that it can maintain, and the growth rate is pretty high. So I do like the company. I think it's a pretty decent company. The chart it looks like it's pretty solid, too. So I think it's pretty good. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. The Labor Department has proposed a fiduciary rule change to try to solve some of the conflicts of interest in the financial industry. How will these new rules will affect you? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Good advice. Spread your money around. Stick to a well-thought-out plan for carefully divvying up your money so no single calamity will destroy your portfolio. Want to talk about it? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
Let's talk to Gene in North Carolina. How you doing, Gene?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Thank you.
I only caught the tail end of your program, so I apologize if you went over this already.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the jobs, the monthly jobs data. From
yes.
The, and it was 240,000, was it?
There's 200, let's see. It says the economy added a whopping 287,000 jobs last month after 11,000 in May. So in June, it added 287,000, which was way more than it probably did, but that was the report. But the 11,000
right.
The month before is probably way lower than it probably was, and that is going to get revised probably.
I heard someone mention that when they give you that number, 280-some thousand,
mm-hmm.
they actually don't have a list of 280-some thousand names, that part of it incorporates a projection or an extrapolation.
That is correct.
Do you know anything about that?
That is correct. They don't actually count $287,000. It's not
dollars, people.
I mean, 208,007 jobs. That's right. You know, it's not an actual account. It's extrapolated, and there is surveys that they go through, and it's extrapolated.
Yeah, so I think the way maybe I think of it is the same way that people report on polls of people.
Correct.
People do a polling, and they extrapolate from a small sample and project it on the entire country. On if everyone followed that scheme and that formula, then you get a certain number of people who vote that way.
That is correct. You're exactly right. That's how they do it. It's not a physical count. They try to get more accurate with the following month, and they revise the previous month's number.
And when they try and correct it the following month, do they actually have list of names, or is it still an extrapolation, but it's more exact?
It's still an extrapolation. It's never exactly right. Never.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And let's say our brain is hardwired, you know, to hurt us as investors. Did you know that? There's been lots of psychological tests and surveys, and we have a tendency to procrastinate. That hurts us. We have a tendency to avoid losses. Okay, the pain that we have on a loss is twice the pleasure we have on a gain. That hurts us. So we always want to get even. That's not a good thing necessarily. And we don't want to admit where we made a mistake. We don't like to admit it. So our brain is wired for these things, and it hurts our investing abilities, our ability to make right decisions. It's tough, everybody. So you got to be careful. Don't procrastinate. Don't worry about losses. And don't try to admit your mistakes quicker. That's what we're trying to do. That's what all you're trying to do. Let's answer one more question if we can before the end of the show. 888-99-CHARGE is our number.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Joe from San Mateo. I often hear that dollar cost averaging on a wide, like a broad index is a good idea. But I don't know about, like, what is the ideal frequency of it. For instance, let's assume that I don't have any commission fees, like every time I buy a stock. What would be an ideal frequency, like bi-weekly or monthly or quarterly? I'll listen to you on the podcast. Thank you very much.
Dollar cost averaging is the method of buying into a stock or a mutual fund or an ETF or an index the same amount every so often. And he's asking, what's the frequency of it? Every 2 weeks, once a month, what's the frequency? And I prefer every 2 weeks, but the way dollar cost average works is being consistent, okay? Most people, this is the problem. Most people stop dollar cost averaging when the market starts to fall, and that's exactly what you shouldn't do. You keep dollar cost averaging when the market goes up or down. That's how it works over long periods of time, and that's what you should do. Every couple weeks is what I like. Our time is up. Now it doesn't matter where you live. We can still I can still look at your portfolio. I set up some time, July 20th, to do it via Skype or telephone. To save your place or schedule a time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. And let's get together again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.
InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.